If you are visiting, I preach through books of the Bible. At times I'll do a topical series, but as a rule, we just preach through the Word of God. It's called expository preaching, and we're at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I've done 1 Thessalonians, and we went into 2nd and covered the first two chapters, and we're at now chapter 3, which is indeed the last chapter, and next Sunday we'll start a new study. Come and see what it is. Follow along as I read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing what you are doing and will continue to do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not going to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. For yet we do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, writing this greeting with my own hand, and this is a distinguishing mark in every letter, this is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. May the Lord God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, this is a chapter that really deals with some issues that have crept into the church in Thessalonica and also are with us even today. Now, if you'll remember 1 Thessalonians, he was there, he came to the church, he gave them doctrine, he stayed a while, and then he moved on. And as he moved on to another city, he heard back from the believers in Thessalonica that they had issues, that they had problems, especially with prophecy. And we looked at those quite a bit in detail in chapter 2, because enemies had come into the church and said, by the way, you guys have missed the rapture. You're in the day of the Lord. Things are getting worse. And so they were a little confused and they were being deceived and they were probably getting depressed, because of the persecution. And if you are persecuted for your faith, I can imagine human nature kicking in at times and just saying, Lord, either take my life or come and take us out of the world. I know some of us feel like that even today. Now, he does commend them because the message was spreading, that they were getting the gospel out and people were coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And he says, you've been growing in the faith. And so he commends them for that. But he also then has to address a problem. And the problem is still with us today. Some people, I call it idleness. I would probably be more direct and call it laziness. Apparently there were some Christians in the church who were, and I say that, I don't know, only God knows their hearts, who were so lazy they weren't working. Now, some people have suggested maybe because of the persecution, and they thought prophetically maybe Jesus' coming was right on the horizon. Maybe they purchased a false pamphlet that gave them that the day Jesus was coming back. I'm being facetious. I don't know. But they decided, hey, let's not work any longer. Jesus is coming back. Or the second possibility is possibly they were just lazy people. I hate to inform you of this, but there are always people in society who are lazy. And there are some people who come into the church who are what we call lazy. And they like to live off of handouts. They like to actually prey on church people who love the Lord and sometimes twist our arms and our hearts by giving a hard luck story and asking for a handout. We could call them almost professional panhandlers, as it were. But whatever it is, they were lazy and didn't want to work. I can't, and there are people like that in the church. Now, not here, but yesterday you guys all worked so hard, I was impressed. Most of we work hard and we work hard for the Lord, and then those who are employed elsewhere give a good day's work for their pay. And that's what the Bible teaches us to do. But here they were getting lazy, and I came across, and this is an illustration, not one that I personally have contact with, but I'll just read it to you. It says from the author, I worked with a man whose name was Carl. He quit his job so he could just go around sharing the gospel, but he found that he had no income, and because of that he was dependent. He either had to go back to work or this family would starve. He says, the Lord doesn't call us to do that, this particular author. If he calls you into ministry, he will also support you. And if you're not being supported, then possibly you have not been called into ministry. Here's another example of people who have prey on churches. And I'll have to confess, I have met individuals like this. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. So, and he's talking about a young people's group. I'm assuming he would mean like either late high school or early college. In this young adult group where I met my wife, this was written by the current pastor of the article. In this young adult group where I met my wife, there was a man, I'm going to call him Vernon. Vern was an extra kind of grace person. You needed to have it to work with him. Vern couldn't hold down a job. His hair was always greasy. He always was asking for money, to borrow money, which meant if he borrowed the money, actually meant you gave it to him because he wasn't going to pay it back. He was always looking for a handout. He's sort of like what you would call a professional user. So when you first met him and heard his story, you felt sorry for him. But then after a while, you no longer felt sorry for him. Rather, you would like to introduce him to another church and to another youth group and have him move on. Some of the guys in our youth group felt bad for Vernon, and so they had an apartment, and they invited Vernon to come and live with them with a couple of requirements. The requirements was that he had to take a shower every day, and he also had to go out and look for a job every day. And he said, finally, after a while, Vernon had to move out because he didn't like taking showers, and he definitely didn't like looking for work. He specialized in going to the rescue missions that were in town. A lot of rescue missions have a 30-day limit for people, and then he would move on to the next rescue mission. Now, what he has sensed, he is saying, Vernon is one of these lazy people or idle people or whatever it is, but he didn't like to work. There are people like that even in our community today. I can tell you because, and I can't tell you all their stories, although I probably could and we'd be here a long time, they also become professional liars. I'll answer the phone and generally, and they'll tell me their story. It's a hard luck story. You know, they're this or that or this or that. And with my practice, so don't call me, but unless your story's really good or could be vetted, they called me and they will say, and they give me their story. And I'm nice, you know, I listen to their story. I just don't hang up the phone and I say, oh, that's too bad. That's really sad. Oh, that's too bad. And they say, and can your church help us out? And I say, well, our practice is we work with the Salvation Army. Have you gone to the Salvation Army? And I give them the address right here on University. It's not far. And to this day, everyone says, I went to the Salvation Army and they turned me down. And I just smile and I'll say, well, if they turned you down, I got to agree, I work with them, we'll have to turn you down too. And the people come in and they, you know, and if they say, oh, well, can you help us with food? And I'll say, definitely, we do not want you going hungry. You know, come on in and we'll get you into the food bank. And I give them the address and say, come over here. Now, I always wonder why people way on the west side or in Urbandale or in Johnston are calling up Galilee Baptist for food. Don't they have any churches in Urbandale? You know, and I always have a list. And they call me and I say, where are you at? And I'll say, oh, well, I know the pastor out there in Urbandale or in West Des Moines. And I'll say, go to him. I say, and I give them the number and address. Sorry, Paul. I say, don't come here. I'll say, it's closer to you. And I'll say, I'll let him handle it, and in a sense. But there are people, now, they do it every month. And I've learned what they do is they sit by the phone book and call every church, you know, because the phone book in the yellow pages has every church in the city of Des Moines. Doesn't matter where you are. They just go down the phone book and they call up the churches saying, can you give us any money? You know, they're going to kick us out of our apartment or my kids are needing food and stuff. And I do follow the biblical principle. I always will give them food. If they come in for food, they will not go hungry. But to this day, not one of them has showed up wanting food. And when I offer food to them, they usually hang up because they want money. They want us to put money in their hand. And we're good stewards of God's money. So when you put money in the plate, I guarantee you, we're not putting cash routinely into the hands of people who call up. And that's what he is talking about here, is that people are doing that on a regular basis. And it's sad to say, it's a sin. And now what's really tough, now if you were listening to what he was saying, now he wasn't saying that if people are legitimately ill, injured, in need, yes, we will help you. But if you are just an idle, lazy person looking for a handout, no, we will not help you. In fact, what it actually literally says here, Paul writes in there, he says, now for people who can work, so he's not talking, who cannot work. He's talking about people who will not work. And he says, if they will not work, and you got a charity fund, you got a fund to help the community, you know what he says in the scriptures? He says, if they won't work, don't let them eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. Now that's probably not even followed by our society. Our society doesn't do that. Our society doles out our money to people who can work, but because they refuse to work, we give them money. I've never been able to figure that out. And I know that on a regular basis. Now here's a true story. True story. I pastored in Philadelphia for 8 years. Really did. And I can tell you, the governor of Pennsylvania at that time, his name was Thornburg. And they passed a law in Harrisburg, where the capital is, and they said to the people who we were giving welfare to, had to go out and work for their cities or work for their counties and put in a little time to get their welfare check. Which, hey, all of us who were working and paying taxes, I thought that was a great idea. You know, they could push brooms and clean up the gutters, you know, go to the parks, clean them up. And now, they passed that law in Pennsylvania. Within days. Now, the mayor of Philadelphia at that time, his name was Frank Rizzo. He's not the mayor anymore, of course. But he called Harrisburg. And with all of his political influence, he said to the governor, you cannot enforce this law in Philadelphia. You cannot withhold their welfare checks. They had 85,000, and this has nothing to do with your ethnic or color, but they were saying, we have 85,000 healthy men on the rolls on welfare in Philadelphia. And if you withhold their checks or make them go and work for their checks, they will riot and they will tear up the city and burn it down and burn down their buildings. This was on the news there. And when I heard that, you know, I said, good for them. Let them go burn their homes down. That makes common sense, saying, hey, if you want to get welfare and you can push a broom, go push a broom. They refused even to push a broom. And their response to that, which would have been harder work, was to go out and riot and to organize and to burn down their own communities. And I'm sorry to say, I'm disappointed in the governor of Pennsylvania. He gave way and they pulled the law because they didn't want to have the able-bodied welfare people rioting in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and other places. That mentality is with us today. I still say, hey, if you're able to work, go out and work. And if nobody will give you a job and you need a welfare check and the city will say, hey, if you'll do a little bit of this, we should do that. That's biblical. That's a biblical principle. That's what Paul said. If you're able to work and just say, I won't work, then Paul says, don't let them eat. Don't let them eat. Hey, I think he knows that, hey, food is important. You know, people like to eat. And so what he is saying is, that's an important thing to do. And the Bible teaches that laziness is a sin. And we've got a lot of lazy people, you know, even today, 2,000 years later. So the principle is still true. And Paul said that. And Paul said, and if you don't work, you might turn into a busybody, creating more problems in the church. And so he says, hey, and so this is what the Bible actually says about hard work or being lazy. And he says here, and by the way, if you wonder if you're lazy, and these aren't original with me, but if you have a self-winding watch and it stops often, it's a good sign you're lazy. If you have to save up energy to take a nap, you might be lazy. And if you fall asleep at work and no one notices, it may indicate you're lazy. Now, I won't have you turn there, but if you look in Proverbs, you know, Solomon himself said, work is good for you. Hard work is necessary. God made us to work. In fact, in God's kingdom, we'll have jobs. So if you're a Christian, when God establishes his kingdom, yeah, worship is important, but also work is important. God says in eternity, you're going to be working. You are in eternity. I don't know what job I have up there, but God's going to give me a job. He's going to give you a job. We're all going to be working. Work is important. When God created Adam and Eve and he placed them in a garden, he didn't say, now you're on vacation. He said to Adam, and now you got a job. You got a job. You got to take care of the garden. And then he said also later, you have another job. You got to name all the animals. Hey, that's work, folks. That's a lot of work. But Proverbs says that, like in 6, it says, go to the ant. Well, it talks about and observe how they work. It says here, the lazy person cannot do work well because they constantly have to have somebody supervising them. You know, we might call it micromanage today, and people say they don't like it, but a lazy person is a person that somebody, their boss or supervisor over them has to say, hey, you missed that paper, oh, you missed that, or you should be doing that. You know, the Bible says, hey, lazy people are like that. It says, a lazy person will not plan for his future. So look here, you have to plan for your retirement. Now, as God's people, he says, we don't retire from ministry or serving the Lord. You may not have to work any longer because of your retirement, but as Christians, we don't retire from serving Jesus. That's what the Bible says, in a sense. You look at the Bible and it says, we're going to work for the Lord. We praise God. We may shift in what we do, and we may not be able to do certain things that we used to do because we've gotten a little older, and we all see that happening, but we can still do things for the Lord. So a lazy person, the Bible says, doesn't plan for their future. God tells us, yeah, I'm going to take care of you in the future, but while you're here on earth and I've given you a job, you plan for your future. You should save your money. You know, I've even tell my kids that, and I have to confess, I don't think they listened to mom or dad. I said, listen, save 10% of your wage every paycheck. Put 10% in an investment, in a retirement account, in some kind of fund. You know, I said, especially now for my kids that are young, don't wait till you're old like me. Start doing it when you're 25. Start doing it when you're 30. Start, you know, it's never too late to start saving. But it's like, oh, I don't need to save now. I don't need to save now. And the next thing you know, but they need to get a credit card, and then they have to pay interest on all their money. So a lazy person doesn't use good sense, and he also wastes the money that he does have, and he's looking for handouts. Hopefully, because I do like to sleep, but hopefully not excessively. I do like to get up in the morning. But the Bible teaches that lazy people like to sleep excessively. So I guess don't sleep too much, folks. So sleep enough. You need 7 to 8 hours, But if you're sleeping 12 to 14, unless you have a health reason, you know, it might indicate that you're a little on the lazy side. And it says in the Bible, if you are a lazy person, you will eventually be a person in poverty and dependent on others. That is, lazy people end up depending on others. And that's what the Bible teaches. Check out Proverbs 10:26 and Proverbs 6 and other passages. Now I know legitimately sometimes God sends you through hard times financially, but God also promises to take care of us, and we need to remember that, and God will take care of us. But God does not honor laziness and idleness, and so you need to be working. It's like I told another, where I pastored another church, he got laid off, the company downsized, and he says, what am I supposed to do? And I says, you have a job to do, and the Lord will honor it with your, you know, your skills, and where you go and you keep looking for work every single day. Yes, your company downsized, but you know, you trust in the Lord and he will provide for you. He didn't say stay home and quit looking. He says keep on looking. It could be a test. You know, God, and you'll end up. And one person told me they were did what I said, and he said, and the job they got was better than the job they were downsized from. And he was faithful in looking. So there is a biblical principle. So remember, in 2 Thessalonians 3, he didn't say if any could not work. He says neither should he eat, but if any would not work. And so he's not talking about people who are unable to work because of health or unable to work, but he says you can work, but you choose not to. And if you choose not to, I might step on your toes, I definitely will, you are sinning. And then when you come to the church and say, I need a handout, the Bible is saying, look, in essence, you're trying to steal from God. Now, yeah, we take care of the poor, and there are people who are legitimately poor, but those are the ones that we need to have a heart for and take care of, not people who are just basically idle and lazy. Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we readily confess at times there are principles that even society go against. And we know that it's tough and hard, but you have guided and inspired the Bible, and this is your principle. Help each of us to do what you've set before us. Help us to accomplish the jobs that you want us to accomplish. In your name we pray. Amen.